Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
Wow. E3 is finally over with, thank God.
Yeah.
And I'll shut up for the rest of the year now, because all those games are going to come out and they're going to suck. God, I listened back to last week's podcast and I'm like, this is awesome. That's awesome. This next one? Yep, that's awesome too.
You're our optimist. Bobby's our pessimist and I'm the realist. That's how it works.
I look forward, Bobby looks back, and you just beat off. I don't know
what
you.
I just am. I live in the moment.
I think Chad took a nap last week.
Yeah. Him? I kept trying to wake you up. I was like, hey, Bobby, here's another woodcutting game.
You get to clean up stuff in space.
I just wanted to talk about strategy games, man. By the time we had got to the podcast, I had watched all the stuff on Twitch. I had read all the articles, and I had talked to my friends about E3. I was so sick of it by the time that we started recording that I may have been extra pessimistic.
How about you save it for the podcast?
Yeah.
Man? How about, hey, I can't talk with
stop
you
having
about
friends.
That. Yeah, stop having friends.
Well, I got to come into this well-informed, you know, so I can have these brilliant opinions on these games.
Absolutely.
But true. My blanket statement for the entire E3 show was probably, looks good, too early to tell, we'll see what happens. You know, and that could have been said about absolutely everything they showed
this
off.
This E3 was excited about 2015. Is basically what I got out of it.
At some point last week, you were like, what didn't look good at E3? And I said that, well, I didn't say it. I should have said it at the time. Everything I didn't mention.
Yeah, there were a lot of things that we didn't cover, but there was so much. Mm-hmm. It was just impossible to do it all.
And there were still a couple really good titles that I, like Hunt. Did you guys hear about this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard about
it. And that was like one of the big games that came out, and I didn't really cover it at all. But it's going to be a 4-player co-op, kind of like zombie-infested thing, but it's a AAA title. I forget which studio. Anybody?
Mm-mm.
Here's the interesting thing. Free-to-play. Free-to-play AAA title. Microtransactions will only be cosmetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, two things wrong with that. Free-to-play and zombies. Not interesting.
Dude, you can't say that free-to-play with only cosmetic microtransactions is bad. That's Smite.
Yeah, that's what Smite
is. That's basically Dota, right? Isn't Dota?
Yeah. No, it's
only
not as bad. But at the same time, there's no such thing as a free lunch. If something is free to play, there's a catch somewhere. So I don't know. I don't know what it is yet.
I disagree. I would say that my favorite type of game right now would be a free to play game with only cosmetic purchases. How could you say?
I think they each have their merits. I understand Bobby's viewpoint, which we brought up before in the podcast. Yeah. You get what you pay for. If you get a free game, you're paying for a free game. You know, it's.
But there are those that stand out. You know, you got your Smites and Smite and then Smite.
Hmm. Dota, a lot of people will
Dota,
say.
You're right, yeah.
But this week, though, is probably a bigger week for PC gaming than last week, though, wouldn't you say?
For PC gaming? Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. Great segue there.
I love these YouTube videos that people put out when the Steam Summer Sale starts. Like, the one that is at the top of the charts
Maybe we should start off by saying the Steam Summer Sale started.
I think everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
I'm just saying, you know, if they don't, let everybody know. It started on the 19th.
Should we break it down what it is and why it's... I mean, everybody should know, right?
I hope so.
The majority of our listeners, you
should know what the Steam Summer Sale is.
Yeah. Well, it's probably their biggest sale all year. They do another big one in
the winter,
December.
Right?
Yeah, right after Christmas. Usually it comes in right after Christmas before New Year's. They do another big sale, but the summer sale is the big one. And this is the third year. I want to say the third year, but I'm not positive on that. They haven't been doing it as long as you think.
Let me hear the what was up with that video that you were about to talk about.
Oh, the video.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to go on YouTube and check out. Just type in Steam Summer Sale. And they have these videos where they've put in. The one video that's really popular right now is they've taken a battle from Lord of the Rings and they put Gabe Newell's head on one of the orcs, and he's like leading the charge, and all the ogre guys have these Steam Sale price tags on them, and they're charging, and some guy fires an arrow like like a warning shot too quick. If you've seen this,
yeah, I remember.
The, yeah, he fires that one arrow, and the other guy like says something to him, and in subtitles they say, "No, wait for the dailies." You know,
that's pretty good. Yeah,
it's all a metaphor for like the Steam summer sale, because everybody knows who's been through this. You wait for the dailies, you wait for the flash sales. I've got it down to a science. I could explain it, but it'd be terribly boring. But
no, I think you should break it down to like 20 seconds.
Give us the simplified version.
Let me see if I can. If this can make sense.
Because I have like 70 games now, and I'm looking to up my library, so right. Help me out.
73.
73? Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. I'm buying.
No, that's your goal.
Oh, yeah. That is my goal.
Well, this is what you want to do with the Steam Summer Sale. It's going on for 2 weeks. A lot of things on Steam are going to be on sale, but there's various discounts. Some will go on sale more than others. So most games are going to be on sale. Then you have your daily sales, which are going to be even more on sale. Then you have your flash sales and your community choice sales, which are even more on sale. That's like the third tier. You know, those are heavily discounted. So what you want to do is if you have a few games that you're looking for, you want to wait till they're either on a daily. And if they're on a daily, still don't buy it. Wait to see if it goes on a flash sale or a community choice. You have a chance for 24 hours to purchase a daily. And also 24 hours after that to purchase it daily as well. So you can wait up to 2 days to see if it pops up on a flash sale or a community choice one. And if it doesn't, just buy it on the daily. If it never shows up on the daily, buy it the last day of the sale before all the prices go back to normal. That's pretty much the formula.
And how long do these flash sales and community choice sales last?
They last 8 hours.
Okay.
And you can vote on the community choice ones. They give you a choice between two groups of four. And usually they're kind of tied together by some genre or theme.
Yeah.
And you can vote on them. If you vote 3 times, then you get a Steam summer card.
And what else is going on with the summer sale?
Yeah, what's that game?
There's like other things going on.
Go on, Master.
Yeah, tell us how to win the summer sale.
Yeah, we want to win. Oh, by the way, I just signed up for the summer games, which I don't even really understand how it works. But
do you know what team you're on?
Yeah, blue, the worst one. They put me on the one in last place.
You can change teams.
I didn't even pick a team.
Why wouldn't I pick two? Why wouldn't I go to the best team?
You have to buy a token, or you can get it through crafting, but you can buy a token. And for the winning team, like purple is $30, I think last I checked.
$30?
Yeah, credit? $30 just to switch the team.
To switch to, charges you $30.
And then what though? What do you win if you win?
The way it works is every single day there's, 5 teams that are competing against each other, and everyone gets broken up into a team randomly. I'm on pink team. Go pink.
Are you really?
Yeah. Yeah, I got stuck on the pink team.
Oh, I could have sworn. Oh, I saw it as purple. I thought you were. I was like, of course Bobby's on the winning team, but no, you're not.
No. Well, they're really pushing crafting with this, because the way that you earn points for your team is by crafting sets of cards. And then you
Your team should just be winning, hands down, right?
This doesn't count for cards you've already crafted. These are cards that you're crafting right now.
So does that mean that you're going to wait for all your crafting to do next year's Steam Summer Sale?
No, it resets every day. So, no, I wouldn't wait a whole year for that. And I really wouldn't. I really don't care about winning this, because the winning team, what happens, purple won the first day of the sale, and it looks like red is in the lead now. But what happens is the winning team, 30 members get selected at random, and they get the top 3 games from their wish list. So the first 3 games on your wish list, they just give you.
Wow.
But that's 30 random people out of a fifth of the Steam user database.
I'm
going to
pick RPG Maker 3000 or whatever. That's like $99. I wouldn't really.
The Music Maker one, isn't that one $100 also?
Yeah, I don't think it includes DLC or anything like that, but... Yeah, so make sure you've got your wish list in order. You could just happen to be on a team that wins, even though you didn't really do anything. So, yeah, you might want to make sure that you got those expensive games up at the top of the wish list.
Two questions I've been meaning to ask you for weeks. One, can you take things off of your wish list? Because I can't figure it out.
Yeah, there's a remove button. It's kind of small.
I can't find it, and I've tried. And two, sorry to bring this up, but the Stick of Truth, who did you use as your co-pilot? For most of the game. There's two of you the whole time. Who'd you use as your partner?
Cartman later in the game.
Really?
Yeah, and then Butters at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, I used Butters throughout.
Yeah, well, he had the heal. Butters had the heal, didn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was really helpful.
And I didn't take up his turn.
No. No, it didn't. That game was a little on the easy side with things like that. But Cartman just did a ton of damage.
Yeah. Right. It was been bugging me forever.
Oh, okay. So while we're here, well, those listening can't see, but there's your remove button right there.
Oh, god damn it. Okay, let me explain.
It might have.
There's some words, and then there's a giant remove, and I did not see it. So.
And you can also change the order of them just by clicking and dragging. I'm going to put Tropico 5 at the top of my list, just in case. Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
So should we talk about what games they should be looking for on the Steam sale?
There are games that we're looking for, there are games that I'm looking for, and then there are games that I'm recommending to a lot of people, especially if you don't have a very big library, or maybe you're new to PC gaming, or maybe you've been away for a while and you're coming back. There are a few staples to PC gaming that you just gotta have.
Yeah.
And again, you know, wait for the sale on these ones. Like, my number one pick out of everything is Left 4 Dead 2. That is one game everybody needs to have. Absolutely.
It's a great game.
And you can wait when that's on a daily sale, and because it's a Valve game, it almost certainly will be. You can get that for $5.
Yeah, $12 I think is way steep for that game. What else? Payday 2. Both of these are games that would really pay off if you have a couple buddies, or even with just one buddy to play with. If you have no buddies, we're here for you. Yeah. Just hit us up on Steam. We'll play with you.
We'll play.
And then maybe we'll figure out why you have no buddies and then get rid of you. No, I'm kidding. So then the ones that I recommended for sure is XCOM Complete. If you haven't played either one, you might as well get them both. I haven't played the second one yet, but I hear it's really good, the DLC, The Enemy Within. So you could pick them both up for $14. Now, that's good on its own. If it goes on a flash or whatever, definitely pick it up. My other number one recommendation is Orange Box. If you own half of Orange Box already, it's still worth it to pick up the other games, I think. You get Portal, which sometimes, I mean, they give away for free. Well, they did one time. You get Half-Life 2 and all the episodes. And you get TF2, which is already free as well. But I think you get a hat or two. And, it's worth it. It was $4.99 yesterday, so... I'm sure it'll be on flash sale or whatever. My other recommendation was Spore. I've never been on the hype train for a game more than Spore. I've spoken about it before. Like, when I heard about the concept, I was telling non-gamers about it. I was like, listen to what you can do. You can take a single cell life form and evolve it through mutations that you pick all the way to the point where you're a dinosaur and then a city of dinosaurs, and then you're exploring the cosmos with your creation. I thought it was the most ingenious idea ever. And it was pretty good. The concept didn't play out as well as you would think, but it came out really well. And so I think me and Chad both bought it. We both played it at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it was like $55, I remember. And I remember saying, you know what? We beat it in one day, I want to say. And I said, I wouldn't want to play that again, but the first playthrough was worth my $55. Yeah. It really, really was. I mean, it took us like 6 hours. And for $10, it's damn well worth it.
I'm just surprised it's on Steam. Like, I know EA's been pushing their Origin.
Yeah.
So is this something that's
I think
new?
It's hard to ignore a certain amount of money that you know you're going to get.
Yeah.
There's another EA game. I forgot what it was. I saw it before Spore, and I had the same idea that you're having.
Yeah, there's several games that are on Steam that are Electronic Arts games. Some, I think, have been taken off, like Dead Space 2. I don't know if you can still buy that on Steam. I may be wrong, but I did when you could. You don't get some things like achievements.
The one that I have been hooked on recently, and so I would say if it goes on sale, is Binding of Isaac and the DLC for it. That game is just a blast.
If you were to walk into Casa de Chad on any given day, like after 7 p.m., and you walk by both of our rooms, you're going to probably see us both playing Binding of Isaac.
Yeah.
Like, and we're talking to each other about how our run is going. Like, it's bad over here.
We're competing to see who can get to It Lives the first, which takes 9 completions of the game, so that's kind of what we're...
Chad's getting pretty good at it.
We're fighting over that. But we've talked about Binding of Isaac.
Well, let me get into Real quick. Damn it. I wanted to stop myself and I fucking went anyway. Binding of Isaac Revival is coming out, I think, this month or next month. And it's going to have local co-op where one person can play on a keyboard, the other one on the controller. I have a controller and a keyboard in my room, and I can't wait. I can't wait.
I'm excited.
And 150 more items. Can't keep track of the ones. Wow. We constantly ask each other what items do, because there's about 300, over 300 now.
Yeah. But that's part of the fun. It's the mm-hmm. it's the piñata game where mm-hmm. like you just keep playing because you want to see what items you pick up.
Yeah, and you're not playing at the same time like two Isaacs. One is just a baby version, like one of these things that just follows you around. But still, it'll be fun either way because I can see what's going on in his game as opposed to him telling me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what games you want to pick up for the Steam sale.
Sure.
So, Bobby, what do you got on your list?
Games that I want to pick up. I will definitely be buying Battle Block Theater.
What kind of game is that?
I've seen that. Yeah.
It's kind of a side-scroller. It's made by the same guys who did Castle Crashers.
Okay. Yeah.
So it looks a lot like that. I've been meaning to pick it up for a while. It's at $750 right now. I'm willing to bet it'll go a little lower, so holding out.
He's rolling the dice.
It's the 8-bit graphics, right? Like,
no, it's blocky. Animated. It looks like it's
It looks like cartoony. Castle Crashers, yeah. except a little different style.
Yeah, my picks are terrible. You know, this is going to be... Typically, during a Steam summer sale, my bank will call me up just to make sure my credit card was not stolen by some kid going crazy online. But I don't think that's going to be the case this year. I'm looking at everything that they have to offer. I have most of it. And everything else, I've already seen at that price before at some point during the year.
You bought it last year.
Yeah, so I've had an opportunity to buy these games at the price they're on sale for, and I haven't. And a lot of these games I totally want to get, like Spore, but then I click on it and I'm like, well, you got $250 for the DLC here, another $250 for that DLC, and it starts adding up. Then I'm like, well, instead of $5, I'm spending $12.50 because I want the complete package. You know, I don't want just the game. I got to get the DLC.
It's funny because I can't attest to the DLCs, but what I can say is, because somebody, my buddy, the one that's just getting back into PC gaming I keep talking about, he was asking me today if he should pick up the DLCs for Bioshock Infinite. And I'm like, the game is so good on its own. Anything after that, I don't know, would add to more of it. I didn't pick it up, but personally, I just don't see the value in it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking more as a completionist, though. Like, I just want to have the DLC. I'm not even into DLC
this
all that
much.
This
is how you get to level number one in the world on Steam.
Exactly. And how your bank calls you up wondering if some kid stole your card. It's because you got to have all the DLC.
Steam's going to change its name to Bobby's Steam. That's number one.
Got to have the DLC.
Well, I think DLC is done correctly if it's done in that way. You have a complete package by itself, but if you're really into the game... There's more things that you can buy, but if you are satisfied with just the game, it's kind of like extra features in a movie. Like, if I really like the movie, I'm going to listen to the director commentary or something like that, you know? That's how I want my DLC to be. Nowadays, they're kind of treating it like you get 90% of a game, and then here's your last 10% to really see what you should have gotten originally.
Right.
So if Bioshock did it that way, then I'm happy for them.
It's like, I love Borderlands 2. Loved it. Played through the first DLC, I thought it was great. Halfway through the second DLC, I was like, blah, like I'm so done with these mechanics.
Yeah, usually by the time I finish a game, I'm not interested, no matter how good the game was. That was the case with Deus Ex Human Revolution. Finished the game, loved it, loved the story, loved so much about it. Started up the DLC, quit 5 minutes into it. I was just over it. I had like reached the end of it. I felt good about that, and then I just did not have the heart to start it all up again and get involved.
But obviously, there's lots of people that aren't like us, you know, that are picking these up because they continue to make the DLCs, and obviously they're making money.
Yeah,
publishers, I think, really push the DLC because it's a big money maker.
It's like when I was working at the shoe store, like we'd always push the shoe cleaner, you know, like that's like the add-on sale. That's the DLCs.
Or like when you're buying hardware, the warranty. You want to take this?
Yeah, the warranty.
There's a hilarious game you can buy for like a buck. It's called DLC Quest. It's probably about an hour worth of gameplay, but it's a joke on DLC. The whole thing is just kind of a jab at the whole industry. For instance, you start out and it's like side-scroller Mario kind of thing, and you start out as this character. You can't even jump. or turn left. And it's like, oh no, you got to buy the DLC for that. So you go and you complete a very simple task, then you earn 5 coins, and then you can go to the store and buy DLC, which enables you to do all
this. Is it funny? Is it worth playing?
Oh yeah, it's hilarious. You know, find it on sale for like 50 cents or a dollar, spend an hour playing through it. It's
now the thing is, like, what I was trying to get at, I guess, is BioShock Infinite was a masterpiece from beginning to end. Well paid, you know, I'm not going to get into it. It's a great game. I almost feel like DLC will maybe take down a few notches of what you're... of, man, this was amazing. I want more. Oh, this more isn't as good as the amazing. So the overall feeling for it mm-hmm. has been diminished.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, Human Revolution, you couldn't even get through the additional things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe your overall feeling has dropped a little bit.
Well, most of the time what they do with the DLC is they don't add another chapter to the end of the story. They add a side story to yeah. it. So it's optional. It's completely optional. And that's a little bit better, at least in my opinion. But with BioShock Infinite, what they did was they said they were not going to do any DLC until the first game was completed, because they didn't want people to feel like what Chad said, that they had not included these parts in the game. So they spent all their attention on completing BioShock Infinite, finished it, then they started the DLC. Because a lot of people were asking, you know, where's the DLC? It took a while for that to come out, yeah. longer than usual.
Have you played it, by the way?
The DLC? Not yet. Yeah. And which is weird, because the Burial at Sea looked really interesting to me, and I really wanted to play that.
Out of all the DLCs in existence, that's the one that I'm like, oh, I should go try that out.
I think I just keep forgetting about it, because it's not like it's in my...
So
my
try it out and tell us how it is next week.
All right, maybe I'll do that.
Do you have it?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Lazy.
Of course he has it. Like, you even had to ask.
Dude, today I was like, I brought Frozen Synapse. He's like, dude, I have a free copy.
So let's continue talking about what we want to get for the sale.
Speaking about what Emilio brought up earlier, the orange box. Now, that includes... I looked at the orange box just the other day, and I realized that only includes Portal 1, Half-Life 1...
Half-Life Source.
Half-Life Source, okay.
Right.
Team Fortress Classic, and maybe Opposing Force and Blue Shift, I'm not sure. But really not a whole lot. Like, I don't know if I'd recommend that to anyone getting into PC gaming now.
Yeah, I think a lot of those have gone cheap enough that you don't need to wait for a sale to pick those up.
Yeah.
What else you got that you're looking forward to?
Command & Conquer. And I missed the train on this one, because it was on sale the first day of the Steam sale. All four of the games, Command & Conquer 3, Tiberian Wars, a few other ones. And I had been meaning to give these another shot, because the original Command & Conquer was... that was one of the games I played a whole lot when I was younger. But after Tiberian Sun, I never played any of them. Not even once. Never even tried them. So I've been interested in getting back into that. I like how they still do the full motion videos in those. That's kind of funny how they have that.
I don't... the full motion videos nowadays, they just detract for me a lot of
times. Oh, no, they're terrible by today's standards, but it's kind of funny to me that they kept those in the game, knowing full well that this is something that is come and gone. Nobody does this anymore. It's kind of like a gag now. And I think on Red Alert 3, I think that's the one, they really played that joke up and just kind of went with it. They had Jenny McCarthy as a character in it. They had Tim Curry in there. A few other actors I recognized in it.
It was real campy when you looked at it, but it's like you say that it would take you out of it, but the thing is when you're playing an RTS, you're not in the game in the first place. Yeah. There's no immersion.
Yeah.
So might as well fucking fuck around, you know.
Yeah,
throw
definitely.
Some shit out there.
How about you, Amelia? What are you looking forward to?
Just Crusader Kings 2 is pretty much the only thing is on my list. But see, I didn't have a list, but then I've already bought two games before this.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because, so, you know, things will pop up. And I didn't follow Bobby's master plan of saving 50 cents. But I already picked up... well, first of all, let me say Crusader Kings 2, because we were talking about strategy. And I know that it'll appeal to me, but I also know that the learning curve is heavy. So it'll pay off if I put in the time. We'll see. I'm going to buy it, and I'll report back probably not next week, because there's a surprise about next week. So what did we buy? Chad, do you have anything that you're looking out for?
I'm honestly just looking at the sales and seeing what interests me. You know, I'm a bargain hunter, so if I see stuff 75, 80% off, I'll take a look and see if I want to play it.
And also, you got to check if I have it, because now that we're on the family sharing, why would you?
Yeah, but you tend to be playing when I'm playing. So,
Not really.
The other thing is, I'm okay giving developers a few dollars if I think they've made a good game that I want to play. But I'm like a, not a bargain hunter, but I'm more of an impulse buyer. Like, if I see something that I'm interested in, I'll check the price. If I'm willing to pay the price, I'll pick it up. So I picked up Witcher 2 that on the first day.
Bobby, did he ask you about Witcher 2?
No.
Oh, okay. He was like, hey, man, I don't know. And I was like, it's $250, dude.
Yeah.
I think it was $3.99. Witcher 2?
Whatever it was cheap enough that I just picked it up.
Yeah, at that price, you almost have to buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, now he's primed for Witcher 3, which he's going to come forward with the full in-depth review as soon as it comes out for $60.
Yeah, so I'll get into the Witcher series since I've never played the series before.
Hmm. You know, after keeping a close eye on Steam for so long and being through a few of these sales, I almost know what's going to be on sale and what isn't. For instance, there are a few games that are never on sale. One game, for example, is Rust. And a lot of people have been asking me, do you think The Forest is going to be on sale? Should I wait for The Forest? I don't think that's going to be on sale at all. I don't think...
Are any of these early accesses...
There are some. Like, are some? What is... Dead Rising 3, which is pre-purchase, that's 25% off right now. I almost thought about... I mean, it looks so good to me.
25% of pre-purchase, though? That doesn't make me feel good about a game. They're cutting a quarter of the price off before...
But they also want money up front. It's all about quarterly...
yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a few games, though, that I have never seen go on sale. Like Rust, not even when it first came out, never seen a discount on that. And it's ultimately up to the developers, and I think that they feel they can just make that money regardless. They don't need to put it on sale. The Forest is one of the top sellers for quite some time, so I don't think we're going to be seeing that one on sale at all.
I've got a week off tomorrow, the next week, so I am going to be playing a lot of fucking games. I'm going to check out Rust to see how much development has come up there. I'm going to be playing...
we picked up Full Mojo Rampage on the sale, right?
Yeah. I bought a 4-pack for everybody on the podcast, and one lucky listener. So we're going to be playing that out. It's a 4-player co-op, Bobby, roguelike Emilio. Not by yourself for once, Chad.
Is it an RPG?
Yeah, I think it's Diablo-esque.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
But it looks super colorful and playful. Looks a good game. Oh, and I looked up the Metascore. No Metascore yet, but the users gave it an 8.9 or something.
Cool.
So, yeah, I'm stoked.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
The other one that I'm hopefully going to be playing this week is Nosgoth. We got a listener, shout out to Tyler, who got us all beta keys. So I'm going to be picking that game up. I don't know much about it. Some sort of vampire-style game. So I'll be playing that this week. So hopefully I'll tell you guys a little bit about it next week.
Cool. Is it in multiplayer?
I think so. I don't know if it's an MMO or if it's more of a team-based sort of game, but it's definitely an online game.
Shout out to Tyler's little brother, who's better than Tyler, by the way.
Yeah, I think I got that Nosgoth game, too. I actually installed it the other day. So I might check that one out with you. If I can pull myself away from Tropico 4, that is.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Well, I talked a little bit about it last week. And
get into the nitty-gritty, man. Why you keep playing it? What's up?
Well,
SimCity,
SimCity, but...
Cuba.
There's objectives in it. I think that's the biggest difference. You start... Like I said last week, there's 20 levels, and each time you play a level, it's a different island, and you have to reach some sort of objective. It may be you have a lot of rebels who keep revolting, and you need to build a strong military, or you need to create an island resort and get a lot of tourism. There's a lot of different ways that you can make money in this game, too. And
now, do you have to be an asshole? Because most dictators are.
No, you can go either way on it. Things will pop up, and they'll give you an option. They'll give you a few different ways of dealing with something. You know, you can pay people off, you can assassinate people, or if people go on strike, you can give them raises or the money they ask for. So, yeah, it's totally possible to be an asshole, and I don't think that's anything new for a sim game. I think a lot of sim games have done that, but something about Tropico is just very appealing to me. It's a lot of fun. I love the style. You get to design your own little character, and he runs around your town, and you can keep tabs on him. My guy looks like the most interesting man in the world wearing a sombrero. Anytime given the option, you got to go with the sombrero.
Bobby, it's sombrero.
Sombrero.
Pretty good. So compare this for me. Can you break it down versus SimCity, the newest version?
The newest version of SimCity did not feel like there was enough room on the map. That game was more focused on you getting your city to be really good at one thing and then relying on a neighboring city to provide another service for you. I don't know if it continued to be like that, because a lot of people complained about that. That's not what they wanted. In older SimCity games, you could just build this giant empire and you could do everything really well. In this one, you had to choose one thing and go for that. But in Tropico, I don't know. I've never really built up that big because I complete the objective and then go on to the next map at some point. It does take quite some time. I'm on like the seventh level, I think, and they could take an hour, hour and a half to complete. And that's me at full speed, too. You know, with the in these games, you can always put it on slow, medium, fast, you know, now, the time lapse.
When you complete something, are you starting with a whole new city?
Mm-hmm.
From scratch. Okay.
Yeah.
So I would imagine maybe the last level is complete a bunch of these things all at once. Like,
possibly.
Quell the rebels, hold the world.
Well, the first one will start out very basic. You know, build a few farms, get your economy stable. You know, it's like training wheels. And then you move up to more difficult tasks. And you have to do the things that you learned in previous missions also to get yourself established. And then go off from there and then become even bigger.
So are you planning to pick up Tropico 5? Because that's the one that just came out.
Yeah, Tropico 5 came out recently. Seeing how quickly Tropico 4 dropped in price, I'm probably going to wait until I get a really good deal on 5, but I will definitely pick up 5.
That's cool.
4 has really got me interested. I don't know if I'll go back and play the original ones, but I will definitely try out 5.
That's one of those games where like I see it from the outside and I don't like the art style, and I'm just like, it looks kind of, I don't want to say... You say AAA, so this would be like a negative B title or something like that. You know what I mean? Not to say that I only play AAAs, but it's somewhere in between. But if you say it's good, I won't play it, and I'll have Chad play it.
Yeah, I don't know what it was about this game. I think just seeing
simplicity,
it,
maybe? There's difficulty, but...
It sounds appealing to me because I enjoy SimCity, but I didn't like the aspect that you didn't have really any objectives other than make the best city. And that's so arbitrary for me. I like to have objectives and things shoot for.
Yeah, and this one, there definitely is a goal. And I do like working towards something. That makes a huge difference.
Yeah, definitely.
And yeah, there seemed something about this game that just turned me off to it before I had ever even played it. And that's why I had never gotten around to it. Something about it just didn't seem quite right. I'm glad I checked it out, though, because as soon as I got into it, I was hooked. And I'm starting to realize that a lot of games that I've really enjoyed, especially in the past, were sim games.
Yep.
Yeah. That used to be like the only style of games.
So I already picked up a couple games from the Steam sale, and I got them to them just a little bit. I mean, I have my opinions. I'm going to voice them now. But by next week, they might have changed completely. Because I seriously, Don't Starve, I put in about an hour, maybe. And... So, it's so funny because the entire time I'm playing it, I'm like, oh, Bobby would fucking hate this. It's another open world crafting survival game. But it's in a 2D, indie-esque space. The art is amazing. I mean, the art looks really fucking cool. It's literally hand-drawn and then overlaid on a 2D.
It's 2D, but you can rotate them like 60 degrees or whatever.
It's hard to...
Not 90
It's
degrees,
a 3D space, but it's represented in 2D, and it's all hand-drawn. And it's very like Nightmare Before Christmas, like art style. So basically, you know, you're a little dude, you're walking around, you have to harvest things off the ground, live off the land, don't starve, basically. Right? So you have to live off the land. You have to pick up grass, pick up twigs.
Chop trees.
A lot of tree chopping. Make campfires.
But at night, though, right?
Didn't you? Yeah. At night, one time I tried not making a campfire, and I started to get killed by the creepiest sounding things ever. So I knew from then on you have to make a campfire. I also found a thing called a wormhole, which is not the wormholes in space. We're talking about wormholes. It's a worm that has a hole, and you jump in it, and you come out of the other end. And I went over there, and there's a bunch of monsters that were way out of my level, but I was starving as well. So I ate a bunch of mushrooms, and I started having a bad mushroom trip. And then I started fighting my hallucinations, which I was not winning that fight, and then I died. The next game, I explored but didn't harvest, and I died. And then the next game, I started to put things together. You know, it has elements that I really like, which are permadeath, and you level up between... So it's very roguelike, but at the same time, the open world survival, I'm getting on Bobby's page now where I'm starting to see the light, Bobby, where it's like, okay, that's enough chopping trees, you know?
Yeah, but it's only so much of it you can
it's
do.
Very, I hate to say this, but it's cute. It's a cute game, yeah. You know?
It looked like it was interesting to watch you play for about 5 minutes, and yeah. Then you chopped the 40th tree, and I walked away.
And I chuckled a couple times, so there's a little bit of funny things in there.
And the DLC is out, and I think costing more than the actual game itself at this point.
Going the Binding of Isaac route. My buddy was like, "Hey, how are you liking that game?" And I said, "Binding of Isaac is 1,000 times better. There's just more action."
You played another game, though.
Yeah, so I also picked up Frozen Synapse, which I want to say 2 years ago, PC Gamer put at the top of their like strategy game of the year. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get that. What it is it's very vector graphics in a good way. Like, it looks really cool.
It looks kind of like infrared vision, sort of, like, where you just see...
Kind of.
Masses.
Everything's in just lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Art style, you could see that very quick. You type that in, you click on one screen, you get the art style. It's very like Pong on steroids plus acid. Very colorful. So you got that. And then it's very interesting, whereas it's kind of like, okay, think of a quick round of Counter-Strike, but instead of controlling one player, you're controlling all five. And you make all their moves at once, and then your opponent makes all moves at once, but it's not turn-based. Then you guys both say that I'm ready, and both of those things play out.
Yeah.
Am I explaining it right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's turn-based, but the turns happen simultaneously.
Yeah, exactly. And then after those 2 or 3 seconds that play out, it's now time for turn two. So you gotta, and it's very intricate. Like, you can tell your guy, walk under this window, then stand up, then look left, look for enemies, crouch down again, go under another window, stand up, and shoot a guy. Like, you can tell him all that, but it might not happen because you don't know what the enemy is planned. It's very intriguing. There's a lot of thinking going on. If you don't want to think a lot, if you just want to shoot people in the face, go play TF2. This is a more thinking man shooter.
It's not even a shooter. It's more
not
like a shooter. It's more like chess. You're moving pieces around.
Yeah, like chess.
Yeah.
Yep. Digital chess.
Yeah, I've had that game for a while, but I have never once played it. I don't know.
It looks.
I never really knew what to expect from that game. Even as you explain it, I'm still a little confused.
So if I were to sell it to you, I would say Bobby has Steam cards.
It's a puzzle game. Like, if you're into puzzles, and so watching you play, I kind of got interested in it because I like puzzle games, and it's kind of like figure out the right way to do this to get the objective done.
Well, I'm guessing you can play against other people or the computer.
Yeah, right. And they've got a campaign mode.
Yeah, oh, okay.
So it's got quite a bit to it.
Man, I'm gonna need more time to play all these games,
dude. Like, I would say, I've been saying...
I wish I had a week off, huh?
Yeah, I've been telling you guys, like, if I could stop time and me not age and just play every game that I'd probably spend, like, 4 years
probably.
Playing games and then come back to reality.
Your eyes would be shut.
Oh my God.
What else have you been playing, Bobby?
I have also been playing... This is on the way other side of the meter here, but... In addition to Tropico 4, I've been playing a little bit of Painkiller. I was a little confused about this game because there's like 5 Painkiller games on Steam. Turns out most of them are just the same version of each other. just different editions, basically. Some of them have more levels, but they're all basically the same. Because I got the newest one, Painkiller Hell and Damnation. I started playing it, and I'm like, this looks a lot like the original Painkiller. So I started doing a little research. And sure enough, they just redid it with new engine and new missions and a few other new things here and there.
What style of game is it?
It's a first-person shooter. And Painkiller, if anyone's ever played it, they know what I'm talking about. This is a fast-paced, fun, first-person shooter. It's got every guilty pleasure in it. All the guns are just crazy off-the-wall stuff. They have guns that shoot shurikens and lightning. They've got this gun where you shoot this ball and attach it to something, and then it becomes like this. As long as you keep the gun aimed at it, it creates this like laser in between the two that if people hit, then they take damage. It's also got like a blender you can just run up to people and just shred them with. It's just got all this cool sounding fun stuff to it.
Isn't it also co-op?
Is it?
That was a big major point, that it was like a four-player co-op.
Painkiller?
Way off.
Well, the original Painkiller came out in the early 2000s. Are we thinking of the same game here?
I don't know.
It was one of the first games I remember where you could nail somebody to a wall with a gun. Okay. That was the first time
like
I ever seen it.
And stuff like
yeah, that.
That,
and then shortly after I saw them do that in the first Fear game.
I've been able to do that since I was 16.
I think that's a sex joke.
Yeah, that got a little creepy. Does it have a good story or anything like that?
No.
Does it have multiplayer? I mean, is it redeemable?
You're talking Serious Sam territory here, right?
Yeah, it might even be by a similar developer as Serious Sam.
Okay.
Because these games kind of, there's some connection between those.
So you have all these thousands of games and you decide to play Painkiller Hell and Damnation. Yeah. I'm just making sure I understand this correctly.
Painkiller is, you talk to a lot of people who are really into first-person shooters, Painkiller's at the top of a lot of people's lists. It's a classic FPS. Because
which one you've already played?
I've never beat it.
Oh, okay.
And this game is different from a lot of other games, a lot of other first-person shooters, because it's like Serious Sam. There's just hordes and hordes of enemies coming at you. They all do different things, and you kill them as fast as you possibly can.
It's kind of like a first-person gauntlet sort of thing, where it's just like a massive...
Have you played Serious Sam?
No.
Okay.
I'm not a huge first-person shooter. I like the serious first-person shooters, not the
This is not that. I think there's a story somewhere in there, like a guy dies, goes to hell, and he's got to... he's trying to get back with his girlfriend, or maybe his girlfriend's dead, and so he makes a deal with the devil. There's something weird going on with that. I don't know. Okay. It's all about just running through
Left-click
a map.
W.
Yeah,
you just run through the map, kill everyone as fast as you can, and it's exhilarating. It's like a rush. It's like Team Fortress 2. That game is so fast-paced and intense, and so is...
Okay.
Painkiller. So it gives you a different kind of satisfaction than a lot of other first-person shooters do. I'm having a good time with it. Like, I'll probably see it through and keep playing more.
Dude, how fun would it be for, like, us three to play, like, three versus three listeners in TF2 on, like, a custom server? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
With open mics, maybe?
If I haven't already played, like, 200 hours of TF2.
Yeah.
I don't know. TF2
is always
fun. Yeah, I can always go back to it.
TF2 is always fun.
Yeah, it's always a good game. Yeah, so
anything else you're playing this week?
Not so much. It's been not worth mentioning. I played a round of StarCraft 2 for the first time in years. It was
never
just
played that game. I don't know. I've been meaning to, but...
Yeah. It's not amazing. There's better things out there, in my opinion.
Well, I'm going to compete on the Korean circuit.
Oh, right.
In a couple weeks. So.
Well, you could fight them physically and do really well. But as far as you put any digital, if you put one circuit board between you and them, you lose, my friend. You lose.
Should you talk about what else you're doing this upcoming week?
I don't know. I think somebody asked us about games that we're nostalgic about. Let's get right into it.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of things.
So we're talking about games that bring back nostalgia? Or
games that I'm nostalgic about is the way I understood it.
Okay.
Significant games in your life from the past.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, what were some big turning points?
There's two things that come to mind, and that's about it. Like, I could probably make a list and write these things down and be like, oh, yeah, and then there's that one. And I have first time I played Half-Life and shit like that. But let's say what really rustles my jimmies, if you will.
Okay. Okay, Grandpa.
There's EverQuest.
Yeah.
God damn. Like, this is one of these things where, like, you think about your ex-girlfriend and you're like, man, she was so hot and so awesome. And then you hang out with her and you're like, the fuck was I thinking about? Like, she's not that hot or that awesome. Like, the thought of them is greater than what it actually was. And for games like EverQuest, it's not the structure of the game. It was, this is the first time that this was done that way, where it was this first true MMO. You can tell Ultima all day.
Or Ragnarok.
Or Ragnarok, but those things weren't as immersive, for me, they weren't as immersive as EverQuest was. It was the first true MMO. Yeah. And everybody that played at my level was invested because it was hard to get it to that level. And so we were at the top of our game, and like, I remember somebody saying, we're going to teleport into this port, this part of this dungeon. This is going to be our drop zone. And somebody said, like, drop zone, really? And the other guy said, yeah, dude, this is tactical. Like, this is the best place we could drop in. And he's just like, fuck, it really was. There was girls playing, there was guys playing, and I mean, friends of mine got married through that game. Like, they met each other in that game. There was virtual weddings where we would... Dude, it was fucking intense. This is the beginning of MMO. Today's MMOs are a watered-down version of that.
Yeah.
Not because that the games aren't as good. They're 1,000 times better than that game. But it was the first one, the only one, and everybody that was in that space was playing that game.
Yeah, EverQuest changed my gaming. You know, when we were playing down here, we played for like 9 months straight, we played 12 hours every day.
And this is one of Chad and I's long running memes that we have going. Chad, we played so late one night that Chad could not find his cursor.
It was like over a day played straight.
We were up late. Yeah, we're up over like 18 hours. And Chad's like, I can't see my cursor.
There's so many effects that were going on. That's what I say.
And he's... No, there wasn't. And he was moving his cursor around, and I'm seeing it go around in circles. I'm doing my mouse effects here. And he's seeing it going around in circles. Well, I'm seeing it going around. He's like, dude, I can't see my circle. I can't see my cursor. I've been up too long. And I was like, dude, I can see it. It's not bugged. It's right there. And he's like, I got to go to bed. And the way I remember it, we're in the middle of something important. But
we were raiding, yeah. And I was one of the healers in the chain. Yeah. Chain.
I'll say my one big story from here. I remember that I fell asleep because I had been playing for like 18 hours straight. And I used to work night. It doesn't matter. I fell asleep during a raid. Of an empty dungeon. So we had already killed all the bosses. We were going through again to kill all the underlings because it was worth it. And I fell asleep. I just fell asleep. So this is so awesome. My friends were calling me nonstop, trying to wake me up on my house phone because there were no cell phones then. And he's calling me. And finally I woke up and I was like, hello? It's like, dude. Onyxia is a... Not Onyxia. Way wrong. Sorry. It's like, Nagafin is about to spawn, and you're in her room. You need to get up. So I woke up. Oh, I'm sorry. It was the... I remember now. It was the Giant King. The Fire Giant King. It was before the Onyxia. Or, I'm sorry, the other dragon. So I wake up, and I was like, what? Oh, okay. I walk over, and I hit Gate. Which is your spell that you cast to go back to wherever you want to set it up.
Hearthstone. For our normal listeners.
I saw the fire giant spawn, and I'm hitting this back button. I'm casting a spell, and he went up and whiffed on me, and I fucking ported back. It was amazing. And now, it sounds like, oh, okay, you know, in WoW, you would just, like, get your shit back and then whatever. No. In EverQuest, you lose like 2 weeks worth of work when you die. So that was awesome for me, you know. And I was like, wow, I made it back.
Bet you woke up, didn't you?
Yeah. It was fucking awesome.
If we're talking nostalgia games for myself, there's two games that come to mind. The first one is XCOM, and that was like one of the first PC games that really hooked me. The original XCOM, not the one... The one that is now is kind of an imitation of the one that came out back then.
Now, was that just called XCOM? Didn't it have the XCOM names are so confusing.
The first one was XCOM. Oh, yeah, I don't remember, but it was just called XCOM for us. But I just remember the opening scene was all done in comic book style, and I knew right then, like, you know, because I was a big comic book nerd back then, and it was like in this comic book style, and I knew it was just the winner right there. But I've talked about that game. The other game that takes me back is in nostalgia is River City Ransom. Did you ever play that game, Bobby?
Wasn't that on Nintendo?
Yeah, Nintendo game.
Where you punch the guys in the quarters and flying out?
Yeah. It's kind of side-scrolling beat-em-up, side-scroller beat-em-up, but it had this cartoony graphic. It's got a very distinctive graphics to it. It's the same graphics for Super Dodgeball back in the day, but that game, me and my brother, because it was a two-player game that you could each play as, like, the brothers or whatever.
Yeah.
So my brother and I would always play, like, these co-op games, and so there was... So River City Ransom, we probably... Before there was 80-hour games, you know, we probably put 80 hours into that game. We beat that game so many times just because we had so much fun playing that together. And that it had like a kind of a funny kind of art style to it, and it had a funny kind of theme to it and all. And it was just that game right there is one of my most nostalgic
That's
games.
The NES?
NES, yeah. The original Nintendo.
What about Battletoads? Did you guys get into that?
Fuck Battletoads. Like,
it's kind of the same kind of game. You know, a lot of those brawler beat-em-up games.
No, Battletoads, you get to level 3 and then you couldn't get past...
He's emotionally invested. Don't talk shit.
You couldn't get past the fucking... what do you call it? The scooter level?
Oh, yeah. I think it was so hard.
I'm surprised they haven't brought Battletoads back in any form. They brought Double Dragon back.
Battletoads was just a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles rip-off. I don't know. I don't put any weight to that.
Like GoBots.
Yeah, GoBots. I heard GoBots was original, and Transformers was the redo. But anyways, Bobby, what do you have as nostalgia?
Oh, nostalgia. There's a lot of
everything. Yeah. Like we said, Bobby looks.
You realize
back.
Most of our listeners probably haven't played EverQuest.
Don't go play these games, guys, at all. Like, they're not recommended. I'm saying things that...
Well, I think we're underestimating them, because I was surprised when someone posted in the Steam group about Star Wars Rebellion. I talked a little bit about that last week, and someone was like, oh yeah, I remember Star Wars Rebellion. I felt like that game had been swept under the rug. I felt like that was a game that nobody knew about. But there are a lot of games like that, and as I said earlier, a lot of the games that were really significant for me when I was younger were sim games, and I never really considered myself much of a simulation fan. Not once, but now that I look back, I kind of realize, hey, maybe I'm really into sim games. You know, even newer ones, like I talked a lot about Game Dev Tycoon. Mm-hmm. That was on sale on a daily for like $4.
I thought
bucks.
About that.
That's a must buy.
Prison Architect.
Should I get?
You should definitely buy that
game
one.
Developer Tycoon.
Not only is that like a history of the video game industry, but it's a really fun sim game. But yeah, a lot of sim games like...
That sounds like an oxymoron to me. Maybe I'm just not into Sims, but really fun sim game just sounds like an oxymoron to me.
Yeah, you would think so, because those games are a little more worth intellectually than other games.
Let me take a shot in the dark here. Maybe sim games were more popular then because...
You didn't need the graphics.
You have to use your imagination because the graphics weren't there. Now the graphics are there. So you don't have to play a
single. That's why we're in the age of the first-person shooter, because if you want the best return on your graphics is a first-person shooter game.
Because all you see is...
Yeah, you're literally imitating life.
Especially with these minimal HUDs coming.
Sorry, Bobby.
I don't know. Continue.
Sorry, shit on your dreams and hopes, but go on.
Well, I don't know if we're in the age of the first-person shooter. I feel like that genre is kind of played out nowadays.
You think so?
I think genres are starting to get meshed together. I think they're taking a little bit from...
We're in the mashup
FPS,
era.
From MMO, and they're playing around with the format. I don't know. I think like what's big now is these Watch Dogs, Assassin's Creed, kind of open world kind of games.
Yeah.
Tree Chopper 2014. There's a game that I got.
If we made that right now, it'd be a commercial success.
Your nostalgia game, what... You said Sims. Okay. Did you have a specific game?
Well, a lot of the Sim games. First of all, Sim City, if anybody remembers Reticulating Splines.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Do you know what that means?
No.
Nobody does. It was made up. But yeah, a lot of the Maxis games, Sim City, not so much Sim Earth, Sim Ant, definitely. Theme Park, Theme Hospital, a lot of the theme games.
If anybody can say what Bobby just said, the Reticulating
Splines,
you get a free game.
Okay.
From Amelia.
Yeah.
They have to say that, or they have to say what it means?
what it means.
Okay.
Does it mean anything, Bobby?
No, I just said that. It doesn't mean anything. It was something.
Why the hell did you just say it?
Because it's part of SimCity.
Yeah, because in SimCity.
Oh, they made it up.
Yeah, they made it up for the game. Yeah.
Actually, that might mean something.
You can look it up and you can try to find out, but I'm pretty sure it's on the Wikipedia page. If you look up reticulating splines. And,
if I was a mutant, that would be my power.
Yeah.
He has reticulating splines. Don't touch him.
I think he's one of the X-Men.
And we have our podcast name.
Okay. Anyways.
Well, let's see. My first earliest ever PC gaming experiences were at my friend's house. His dad was kind of a computer guy, and people didn't have access to computer games back then. And he had this computer. It was like a 386, and he had all these games on it, Windows 3.1. We would load up games like Secret Agent, Tank Wars, Jill of the Jungle, Duke Nukem, the original ones. We would play those all night. These are games that you can't even really find these days. You can go on YouTube and... Well, actually, no. Commander Keen, you can get that on Steam. Commander Keen, that was a solid one.
A lot of these ones now are just our Flash games. You can, like, play Quake and Doom just on a website now. That's the level of gaming we're talking about. Their website, their applications now.
But at that point in time, I think I was still kind of torn between consoles and PC games. I don't think I officially was on board with the whole PC game thing. I think that change happened with Jedi Knight, which I talked in depth. Well, I don't know about in depth, but I talked quite a bit about a couple episodes back. But that was a game changer for me. I hate using the term game changer, but it changed the game.
Yeah, no more Sims for me. There's fucking lightsabers I could cut people with.
But I played so much of that game, that's when I got into PvP. That's when I got into modding, level creation, like all that stuff. That
you are who you are today because of that game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess in that vein, the original Counter-Strike... Like, I had never really played online games until Counter-Strike. Yep. That was the one that really
And the original me. Steam. Yeah. Fuck. So it was like Counter-Strike 1.1, then 1.2. And, you know, every time a new one came out, that was awesome because, you know, like, everything looked a little better, blah, blah, blah. Then 1.6 came out and you had to download Steam. And we were confused. Like, it was different from all the other Counter-Strikes. And so we fucking downloaded Steam and it was fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And everything about it sucked. Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Steam is really that old?
Yeah.
It's September of 2003.
And you know what's funny is visually, it hasn't changed much.
Oh, like, it has.
Not really. Like, the borders are still, it used to be like a military green and now it's like a gray.
Yeah, it used to be a military green, but it was also very square. And it did have a really different look to it. I remember being so annoyed that I had to download Steam to be able to play Team Fortress Classic or whatever I was playing at the time.
And speaking of which, you can change the look of your Steam. I just found this out. I mean, I kind of knew about it, but never really thought about it until I saw an article on it. Steam skins. Go get one. It takes you seriously 20 seconds to install. I did an inverted one, so all my Steam is white now instead of black. It's cool. I mean, there's a whole bunch of... If you have a favorite game that's a popular title, there's probably one that's themed around that game.
Hmm.
Yeah, I had a Left 4 Dead theme for a while back in 2008. And there was a Carbon one that looked pretty cool, but I haven't really messed with it all that much since then. But yeah, Steam, I remember when that came around, and it's kind of prevented me from being upset at things like Origin or Uplay, because a lot of people complain about that. And I remember how much I complained about Steam initially, and look what happened there. So those things do serve a purpose, and they can get better.
Yeah, everything's got growing pains. Like, you can't just come out with a... It's like these MMOs that try to come out now, and everybody wants to be WoW. And it's like, WoW went through the growing pains, but nobody remembers that. Nobody remembers all the shitty things that... Everything's a process, and Steam was the same way. And, you know, maybe Origin's going to turn around and... start being good, but I doubt it.
I think we could keep throwing this around back and forth, but back on the nostalgia tip, like, as you were speaking, like, things were just jumping in my mind. There was a game for the SNES called ActRaiser, and it was the first mashup that I ever remember. First of all, I knew about one of them, but I didn't know about RTS. The RTS didn't really exist back then.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a game where you did your RTS point where you advanced your cities and stuff. But whenever there was a conflict, instead of like your units battling it out, you went down and now it's a 2-day side scroller and you had to fight. so it had two games in one. You would advance on the RTS screen, but then whenever shit went down, you'd go down, and now you're playing something like Altered Beast, where you were like jumping around and you had a sword and you leveled that up. And man, I beat it in one night. I stayed up all night and tell my parents, like, I was we rented it. It was the greatest thing that ever happened.
Back when you rented video games.
Yeah, back when you rented video games.
Back when you had to go to Blockbuster to rent a video game.
And the other one you just mentioned is TFC. Like, that's always going to hold a dear place in my heart. Like, man, I love that game so much. You know, TF2 is what it is, but TFC is its own thing. They're similar in that they're class-based first-person shooters, and then that's about it. Like, after that, they're so different.
They have the same classes, but they do very different things. There was armor and grenades and Team Fortress Classic as well. But I think, yeah, that was a huge game for me, too. But I think a lot of, well, I don't know about you guys, but definitely me, I was drawn to PC gaming around that time because that was really the only place to go for a multiplayer experience. This is before every single console was online. When did they start putting phone jacks in consoles? Out like PlayStation 2 or something?
PlayStation 2 Twisted Metal Black was the first one that did that, yeah.
And I had that game.
Yeah.
You could plug in your phone cord to that. Yeah, the PC, it was just amazing. And it was difficult to do. There used to be a website called The Zone, zone.com, where you could go and you could meet up with other people and join rooms and then join a multiplayer match of Jedi Knight or Rainbow Six or... They used to have a game called Ants. Microsoft owned The Zone for a while, but that was really the only way to do it. I remember like working so hard to get a multiplayer game of, I think it was Command & Conquer going with some friends of mine on a LAN. And setting up a multiplayer game with all that stuff, it was difficult. We kind of take that for granted now, how we can just hop into all these multiplayer matches with the greatest bees.
That's like a Battle.net back with Diablo 2, trying to get battle networking.
What was the last thing that we were playing and we were typing IPs and we're like, man, this takes me back to when we were trying
Starbound.
To play. Yeah, doing Starbound. You have to give each other IPs and I was like, man, this takes me back.
We went through a lot with Project Zomboid as well.
I remember in Counter-Strike where we'd have to do the IP addresses to get each other.
All the time. Yeah. Every time. Yeah. It was just part of the deal.
Yeah. Yeah. There was no other way to do it.
Yeah, you guys have it so... easy if you're younger than us.
Not just
I mean, everybody does, but it doesn't really resonate as well as it does with us, where like double click and I can join the game he's playing in the server he's playing,
or with like Steam, where you don't even have to be in the game, you just go onto your friends list and just say join that game, you know?
And pretty soon, I think you're just going to be able to right click on his name and just like see what he's doing,
yeah,
as long as that's like open. That's cool.
We've come a long way.
Yeah.
I want to bring up...
somebody get my wheelchair.
I want to bring up a shout out to Kevin, but I was able to procure an Oculus Rift for the week.
Goddamn right.
So we will be having Oculus Rift, and we'll be playing around with it all week this week coming up. So next week, we will be... we'll be giving a little bit of reviews on it. This is an earlier version of the Oculus Rift, but we'll give you our thoughts and everything like that.
Yep.
You know, you're the one that's excited about it.
Yeah, Chad brought it home, and actually he brought home a couple of things. He brought home some other stuff that I like, and I was like, oh, sweet, because he had told me about a surprise yesterday. And this doesn't come up very often, guys. It's not like Chad ever says, hey, I have a surprise for you.
I do, but it usually involves me not having pants on.
And I'm always surprised. So, and disappointed. So anyway, he comes home and he brought something home. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Awesome. Cool surprise. He goes, no, I've got this. And, you know, I've always
said it's in this, like, hard case. And hard you didn't case. Know
like,
what it was.
Oh, I was like, oh, it's a headphone or a dildo or something. And so, you know, I've always said that the Oculus is my Lord and Savior. So... when I opened it up and I saw the words, I was like, oh my God. And I was just coming down from the ecstatic spike when Bobby walked in the front door for this podcast. I was like, hey, Bobby. I sounded like it was goddamn Christmas and I got my first Nintendo. I got a Oculus Rift. So, yeah, I'm going to make it work and I am going to play it, and I will report back. Speaking on the Oculus Rift, I saw some stuff from E3 where a girl was playing Alien Isolation, which I was excited about until I saw how goddamn scary it is, and then realizing I can't play this game because it's too scary, especially with an Oculus Rift. Let me tell you what this girl, poor girl, went through. She's going through corridors, you know, and they time-lapsed it because they built the thing. And so she's walking around, and then he even had to tell her, like, hey, what is that in the corner? And she's like, I don't know. What is it? So she turned, and of course, there's like a tail, and she goes, ah, she screams or whatever. And she covers her Oculus Rift with her eyes, right? Because you can't cover your eyes. Think about that, guys.
Well, you could literally close your eyes.
Right. So then she closed her eyes and looked down. She goes, I'm not playing anymore. I'm shutting my eyes. So you can take this off of me or whatever you want to do. Like, she had just given up on the virtual experience. So I
That's
know.
That's going to be you.
No, I'm not going to do it. I'll do it for the podcast, maybe. But for the most part. So I'm excited for sure.
Yeah. So we'll figure out how to get it working, and we'll try some things out. Report back to the listeners what our thoughts are, and go from there.
Yep.
Exciting.
You want to talk some news?
Sure. Smite.
News girl, go ahead.
Yeah, apparently I'm the news girl. Smite skins are 50% off until a couple days after when this comes out. So up until maybe Wednesday, the 29th or so. So that's cool. Chad, you already picked up
A
couple.
I did it the right way. I saved my gems from the opening weekend that gave gems away. I had just been holding gems. So I had like 400 gems to spend. Everything's 50% off. So I was able to pick up two skins and thrilled with it. So I'm having fun.
Yep. Steam has now introduced their first two text adventures. These are games with no audio or visual cues at all. So think about Zork.
Okay.
You know, that's the most famous one. You know, they're like $2 each. I don't know. I'm not going to play them.
Made by other developers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. They're not by Valve.
Okay.
But they're allowing them now on there. So think Choose Your Own Adventure books from when you were a kid. I'm not excited about it, but it's a new thing that's on there. Mm-hmm. Check it out if you like to read and you like to play games, I imagine.
I think only people who played those originally are going to be interested in that.
Yeah.
Because we had text adventures because we didn't have the ability to make graphics.
Yeah. And then we had Sims because we didn't have better graphics.
And then
graphics.
We had games like Myst because we didn't have the capability of doing moving pictures.
And then we had to have Half-Life 2.
Yeah. Okay. All
right. So there's a new video game documentary called Video Game the Movie. I saw the trailer. It has a lot of big names in there, like people like Will Wheaton and...
That guy's in everything.
Yeah, the guy with the Nerdist podcast and...
Oh, Chris Hardwick.
Chris Hardwick. A bunch of, you know, the geekier side of Hollywood is doing spots on it, and some random hot girl saying how she liked this game, which she probably didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I really don't feel like this is a movie for game players. We already know that we're cool. We just need to convince everybody else. This might be something to show to your parents so they know what we're into. TF2 came out with their Love and War update. The thing that's the best part of this entire update is the 15-minute video that came out. Bobby, did you watch it?
No, I haven't seen this yet.
I hate you. I sent it to you and it's awesome.
Like, yeah, I watched it.
Oh, I couldn't.
You watched the whole thing?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Like, when I was explaining it to Chad and just telling him the jokes that were in it, he was laughing. And then he watched the whole thing on his own. So I know 14 minutes is a long time for the average game player these days, because you could beat a whole text adventure by then.
If you're into TF2, it's funny.
And it might. I was thinking about this today. Like, if you don't know the characters, it's still funny.
Yeah.
Here is a bucket. My God. Wait, there's more. Like, it's just funny.
Is it related to something that's coming out on TF2?
Yeah, so Love and War update just came out. There's bread-related items now because that was...
Did they have the bread boss? Is there a bread boss?
There's a bread box. You have to craft the bread box, then you collect things, put it in there, and you can make bread-related items. Let me get through my notes real quick. But there's 5 new guns. 8 new taunts, including like paper, scissors, rock, where you could do with other people. Kind of like, okay. There's a couple games where you could like taunt with someone else.
Yeah. And you can do like the high five and stuff right now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But they're more intricate now, where you could do like line dancing and stuff like that, which is like pretty extreme. I guess, you know, once you win a round and you've killed everybody, there's not a whole lot to do. So why not grab your partner's hand and do-si-do?
Okay.
So, and then there's 43 new cosmetic items. So, you know, whatever. There's going to be hats and shit like that. Oh, and now there's mixing of hats. So you could take two of your favorite hats, put them together, make a new hat, and put it on your head. I mean, all this stuff sounds like, what the fuck is he talking about if you haven't played TF2? But if you play TF2 and you got to the point where you started caring about hats, this is pretty important. Like 5 new items. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
Okay, and the last thing I have here is the Turing test. Now, this isn't so much in gaming, but it is very computer-centric. 50 years ago, a guy named something Turing came up with the Turing test. The Turing test was if and when an AI program can convince a human that it is another human in a text-based conversation, that is when AI will have passed the Turing test. And many, many computers have tried, and many computers have failed. And there's a lot of claim to, like, we've done it, whatever. But there was, I would say about a month ago, there was a convention over the Turing test. So, like, 5 or 6 supercomputers from around the world showed up, and they came forth with their AI programs. And a Russian computer named Eugene fooled 53% of the participants that they were actually speaking to a 13-year-old boy in text chat. So for the first time ever, that's happened. So the Turing test finally is 50 years later, somebody passed it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, how's that relating to gaming? Can we imagine a point where dialogue isn't programmed, but is much like No Man's Sky, but not graphically, literally making up dialogue to accommodate what you're doing and speaking. I mean, that's going to be, obviously, this 6-foot blonde with perfect body is not real in this game. But if she's speaking to you like she is real, and she doesn't make a misstep where you're like, oh, she said the wrong word here, isn't that going to, the immersion is just going to be tenfold, isn't it?
It's kind of like Her, that movie that came out, right?
Absolutely. What if your game has 100 characters in it that are all as advanced as Her? It's
going back to the sim that he was talking about, not the city sim, but the other sims that he was talking about a couple weeks ago.
Which sim?
The ones I don't want to bring up at this juncture.
Oh.
Yeah, but anyways.
Hey now. Anyway, I thought it was really cool. So, obviously, these are supercomputers. Everything gets watered down eventually, cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. Maybe in 10 years, your home to computer will have the power
or
to mimic or come close.
Or close. It'll be similar to the streaming gaming that you know, it could be tied to supercomputers coming up.
Oh, correct, yeah.
You know, like, we could be gaming from supercomputers.
That's my prediction. I haven't read that anywhere. My personal prediction is that you will not have a personal PC. You will just have an interface with the supercomputer in your neighborhood.
Yep.
Hmm. So, there we are. Bobby, by the way, anytime I'm talking, Bobby just shakes his head, in case you guys were wondering.
Well, because you're the optimist and he's the pessimist.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
And every time he talks, you just nod.
I nod. Enthusiastically. And slobber. Yeah. That was good. Yeah.
Anything else we have this week?
Well, what do we have coming up? You guys are going to be playing some with the Oculus Rift. Any games that are
full,
on your
Full Mojo Rampage, we're definitely playing.
Tonight, hopefully. I think.
Yeah.
If we can, yeah.
Nosgoth and Witcher 2. Those are the 3 games I'm playing.
The game that I've heard that translate best into the Oculus Rift is Euro Truck Simulator 3000 or whatever, which I've heard is a good game. It
racing game?
No, you just deliver shit.
It's a truck simulator.
It's a truck simulator. Yeah. I know it sounds terrible, but apparently, like, they mapped Europe and they drive around, and it's very, like, I don't know what's good about it.
We'll find out next week.
Exactly. Right. But as far as like you're sitting in a cockpit and you can look around at the instruments, the Oculus fits perfectly because you're sitting in a real chair with instruments in front of you.
Gotcha.
So it just, from what I've heard, it's the most immersive
of the games. So now you need a driving
wheel. I'm not going to go that far.
Yeah, you need a steering wheel and a John Denver cassette tape. And you're good to go.
Until the end of the day, folks.
How about you, Bobby? What do you got coming up?
I'm going to just pick some random games in my library and start playing them.
Hey, did
Bobby's
you
game here? Is the game of Steam.
Yeah.
I don't know if you understand. He's waiting for flash sales. Like, there's no time to lose. He's got to click at the right second. You don't get to be the best by just fucking not getting haircuts.
That's true.
Still no haircut from Bobby. 8 weeks later, folks. 8 weeks.
Are you still on your beating games that you're halfway through tip, or are you done with that? Because you were doing that for a couple weeks.
Kind of. I really want to finish Tropico 4 before I move on to something else, but that is going to take a lot of time, so I don't know if I'm going to do that. I really want to play this game called Divinity Dragon Commander.
Hmm.
Never played it. Kind of popular with a certain group of people. Like, I've heard it mentioned here and there. But
I have 8 copies of that game. Whatever, man.
I don't know. Something about that game, I want to check that one out. A few other small games. I'm still trying to get somebody on the Monaco train with me. Like, nobody wants to play Monaco.
I will play.
Did you buy it?
No, but I have your account.
It was on sale for $1.50.
No, but it's a 4-player game. It's on sale right now.
Yeah.
I will pick it up. We'll play it.
I really want to make this Monaco thing happen.
Let's do it.
And who's going to be our first player? That could be you.
Yeah, hit us up. You want to do the end spiel?
End spiel, sure.
There's not so much of an end spiel anymore. It's just
hit him up with the condensed version.
What you got to do? What if someone just tuned in? This is the first podcast I've ever heard, and they don't know.
If they made it all the way an hour and 20 in, you can hit them up with the spiel. They're not going to quit at this point.
Well, I think the hub of activity for us is really our Steam group. So check us out on Steam. DL Gaming is the group. Join that. Friend any of us. Hit us up if you want to play. I am officially on vacation, so a lot of free time. Going to be doing a lot of gaming.
Dude, you're on vacation too next week?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. We're going to get some gaming done.
Yep. Not Smite. Other games.
No, totally. A lot of... Goddamn. I want to get into it now, but I just keep playing these games that I've been playing for the last couple months.
Yeah.
It's not good for the podcast. Not gonna try my soul either.
You gotta switch it up.
Yep.
Cool.
So yeah, dudes at dlgaming.net. If you want to email us, check out the website, dlgaming.net. And yeah, that's
like us on subscribe to us on iTunes. Hit us up with a like.
Oh, one more thing. Titties. You gotta cut it right there.